Our Old Testament lesson comes to us this morning from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 3. Listen again for God's word to us this day. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And so light appeared. God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day, and the darkness night. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God said,
"Let there be a dome in the middle of the waters to separate the waters from the waters." God made the dome and separated the waters from under the dome from the waters above the dome. And it happened in that way. God named the dome sky.
And there was evening,
and there was morning.
The second day.
God said, "Let the waters under the sky come together into one place so that the dry and land can appear." And that's what happened. God named the dry land earth, and God named the gathered waters seas.
God saw how good it was.
God said, "Let the earth grow plant life, plants yielding seeds, and fruit trees bearing fruit with seeds inside it, each according to its kind throughout the earth." And that's what happened. The earth produced plant life, plants yielding seeds, each according to its kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds inside it, each according to its kind. God saw how good it was. There was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
They will mark events, sacred seasons, days and years. They will be lights in the dome of the sky to shine on the earth. And that's what happened. God made the stars and two great lights, the larger light to rule over the day and the smaller light to rule over the night. God put them in the dome of the sky to shine on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness.
God saw how good it was.
There was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
God said, "Let the waters swarm with living things, and let birds fly above the earth up in the dome of the sky." God created the great sea, animals, and all the tiny living things that swam in the waters, each according to its kind, all the winged birds, each according to its kind.
God saw how good it was.
Then God blessed them. "Be fertile and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." There was evening and there was morning.
The fifth day, God said, "Let the earth produce every kind of living thing, livestock, crawling things, and wildlife." And that's what happened. God made every kind of wildlife, every kind of livestock, and every kind of creature that crawls on the ground.
God saw how good it was.
Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth."
God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them.
God blessed them and said to them,
"Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and everything crawling on the ground."
Then God said, "I now give you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds, and all the trees whose fruit produces its seeds within it. These will be your food. To all wildlife, to all the birds in the sky, and to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food. And that is what happened. God saw everything God made was supremely good.
There was
evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
The heavens and the earth and all who lived in them were completed. On the sixth day, God completed all of the work that God had done.
And on the seventh day, God rested from all the work that God had done.
God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work of creation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy and everlasting God, let there be light. Amen. I think that the voice of God must have sneaked up on the nothing with the let there be. There had been eternity of wind, of the wind of God sweeping and hovering over the waters. And before that wind, before the Holy Spirit rattled the chords of God's voice and became the words, let there be. And then with the word, the sound of the word, the sound of the wind of God rattling the chords of God's voice, light appeared as the word light was spoken. Sound and light boomed and flashed and echoed across the waters, filling the void, illuminating the darkness, and God was known to the nothing. And the nothing became the illumined creation, and God saw. God noticed this light was good, and God kept speaking. How did it feel to be surrounded by the words of God just as you settled in? How does it feel to have the words of creation sneak up on you, surround you, echo amongst you? Did you hear and see that it was good? Perhaps a little disorienting, dislocating, chaotic. There's order coming, I promise. There is order unfolding. This is the second day. The waters that mingled with the wind of God found their order and their boundaries. The confusing existence of the waters, while nothing existed, makes us wonder how in nothing are there waters. And it allows one to realize that from the very beginning, there are mysteries which one will never understand. The waters are given order and boundaries above and below something that was nothing. And now it has a name and a place in this story of creation. And so now it exists, and it is that which God and we call sky. So you see, order is building. What does it feel like to notice the heavens? You've noticed the heavens. That time they sneaked up on you when you were visiting the farm or at the hike in, or standing on the shore staring at the boundaries of the water where they meet the boundaries of the sky in the night. Landon read the words of the psalmist as the glory of the heavens overcame her, and her words were like that out of the mouth of a babbling infant. In the face of such glory, the night returns and the day again, affirming the order and the subtle comfort that comes from the dependability of the dawn. Earth and sea are given their names by the words of God, and so they are given existence by their place in this narrative of creation. And I'm telling you what, God saw the beach, noticed these creations, these works of God's very words were good. They were as they should be. God put them to work right away, producing. Then, thanks be to God, the night returned, and then, yes, again, the light, the day. You could set your watch by it. In fact, God set God's watch by it, using the lights in the sky. I wonder if God was ever surprised by how good this all was. I wonder if God wondered why it took so long, why God waited for eternity to begin to speak and create and tell the story of creation. The order unfolds, as do the strands of mystery. Now, the sun set and it rose, and then the sea was put to work, and it produced all of the mysteries of the seas and the sky, and then there was night and there was day, and then the land was put to work, producing all of the mysteries of the creatures of the earth, and then God put them to work, flourishing, and then there was night, and then there was day. The psalmist stood marveling at all of this work, all of this glory revealed in this story. She marveled at the work of God's fingers. And she wondered, she pondered the question. It's really the question. So, surrounded by such glory and majesty, who are we? What are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? As promised, but clear, unclear in the beginning. The order is beginning to unfold. And now, in this story, there's firm ground to stand on. And all that is has become, and it's good. The mysteries of the beginning, they remain, and there have been more mysteries woven in. And the glory of God revealed to us in this narrative drives us to awe and wonder and to the question. Have you ever asked it, or some form of it? Who am I? Why me? Why do I deserve such blessings? Or why do I deserve such pain? What's it all about? What's the meaning of it all? Why create us in the first place? What are human beings that you are mindful of them? That question has buried in it like a seed in the warm, sticky Georgia soil of a freshly tilled garden, another question that takes us back to the beginning. Well, who is God? This one God in three persons that created us. See, the questions, who are we and who is God, are buried each in the other. And what grows from that sticky soil, what flourishes, is the very mystery of God. The story of our lives that make up who we are the nourishment. They are the nourishment that feed the mystery of God. And the mystery of God is the nourishment that feeds our lives. Great is the mystery of faith. And mystery might not be the answer that you're looking for. Mystery does not satisfy the longing that comes from the hardest questions that we ask of ourselves and ask each other. Mystery does not satisfy the complexity of the Trinity. Mystery does not satisfy the soul that asks us to explain how God created the vast universe, or raised Jesus from the dead, or allowed their beloved to go too soon. Great is the mystery of faith. It does not provide the meaning or the answer, but it does speak the truth. Monday afternoon, I sat on the beach of St. George Island. A family friend let us spend a couple of nights there in her house. And I closed the book that I had been reading and stared out at this clear horizon where the boundary of the sea meets the boundary of the sky, and I was fully aware of the perfection of this moment, the warm, bright sun was just to the west, and it was beginning to think about setting. And the waves washed in. They were strong, but gentle. And a seagull flew past. It was scanning the surf. And there was a young brother and sister, and they were doing handstands in the water just past where the waves were breaking. And I could hear their giggles carried on the warm breeze. And Ellen slept on a blanket right next to me. And the glory of God set around me was precious and beautiful and flawless. The book on my lap was Blue Nights by Joan Didion. The paragraph I had just read before I closed the book, I had to read it and reread it. In it, Didion described standing outside St. John the Divine, the sanctuary in New York, just before her daughter's wedding, July of 2003. And it was a precious and beauty-filled moment. And she wondered if someone walking down Amsterdam Avenue, observing this picture of happiness and hope, could accept that by the end of that year, the father of the bride would die suddenly at his dinner table. And the bride herself would be in a coma leading up to her own death a few months later. Didion and each one of us, we hold together in our narratives of our time in this creation of God, we hold together these moments of seeming perfection and these moments of utter despair. And one casts a shadow on the other, and the other shines a light in the shadows. And the brother and the sister, they ran to the shore, and they grabbed their goggles, and then they ran back into the water, diving headfirst into the waves. And Ellen stirred, and through her folded arms, she said into the blanket, "I'm getting hot, but I don't want to say goodbye to the ocean." And two more seagulls flew past, and this moment amidst creation was perfect. Can any of us walking past each other, passing the peace in the pews, praying together, "Our Father who art in heaven," living out our stories, can we truly accept that each person's life contains such perfection and such pain? Great is the mystery of faith indeed. Great is the mystery that there is order and goodness and hope that can sneak up on the darkest void, even as the sun is bound to set again. Great is the mystery of faith that, surrounded by darkness and emptiness and chaos, God unfolds slowly, one day at a time, order, firm ground on which to stand, and God sees that it's good. Great is the mystery of the night, and that we have faith in the morning. I pushed my feet into the soft sand, and I fished out a warm Corona Light from the beach bag as Ellen stepped deeper into the water, and I wondered, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals, that you care for them? The poet James Weldon Johnson wrote, "Then God walked around, and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his son, and he looked at his moon, and he looked at his little stars, and he looked at his world with all of its living things, and said, "I'm lonely still." Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there, the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the farthest corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. And then he blew the breath of life, and human became a living soul. And he said, "Amen, amen." Friends, voices of this very congregation surrounded us with God's words of creation. How did it feel to hear the good news of creation sneak up and echo around you? Was it uncomfortable? Good. Was it comforting? Good. I found in it a faith-affirming wind of God. And that is what Trinity Sunday is about. It is a statement of faith in the mystery of God. Who are we that God is mindful of us? Well, as the story goes, we are the people fashioned in the image of the triune God. And who is the triune God? Well, the one which Scripture tells us fashioned an entire creation and a people in his image. And your life adds the colors and the shadows to the story of God. So I'm going to leave you now with an assignment to add your voices to the story of God in creation. So God unfolded creation and prepared a place for us to live and play and participate. And so this week, we'd like to hear how you answer the question, who are you in God's creation? God answers the question of who the triune God is by telling the story of creation and then living the story of Jesus Christ. How do you answer the question? And I'm serious. I wanted to hear from you. You can write it on the back of a prayer card and drop it in the offering plate. You can send us emails. You can post it on Facebook. You can put it on Twitter at Morningside Prez. You can take pictures and post them on Instagram and hashtag it Morningside Presbyterian. You can write a song. We want to hear from you. Who are you that God is mindful of you? God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.